wish to extend the greetings to you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You don't have anything you'd like to share before we begin this morning? All right. Okay. Remember Michael. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we just want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Lord, help us to be faithful to you. Lord, we just ask that you would be with Michael, Father. Encourage him, strengthen him, Father. Lord, we pray, Father, that you would be with each one of us as we endeavor to seek your kingdom, Father. Lord, we ask for wisdom this morning. Lord, that you would speak through us. Open our hearts and our minds and our tongue, Father. Lord, that you would be glorified. Lord, we just thank you again for all that you do for us. Help us be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. Oh, I'm sorry, 11. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 7. We'll begin there. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. Jesus here talking about John the Baptist. And I think whenever the people saw John the Baptist, they were a little shocked at his roughness. And they were a little shocked that this man could be from God, because he didn't fit the characteristics of what the world thought would be a man of God. Jesus said, What did you go out to see? A man dressed in preacher's clothes? A man very refined? Those things are the things you find in king's houses. We see the apparel that John the Baptist, he was clothed with a rough clothing. And he had a leather girdle strapped around him. What did you go to see? Or what did you go to hear? Someone who spoke smoothly? And entertained you? No, he said, you didn't go to see that. That's not what you saw. He's a prophet, a man sent from God. And he went on to say that among those that are born of women, there's not been a greater than John the Baptist. But yet, in the kingdom of God, he will be the least. What does he mean by that? And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Until John the Baptist, men were looking for God's promises. And they were claiming God's promises, hoping that they would come to pass. But when Christ came, when John the Baptist brought the way and prepared, told the men to prepare the way for Christ, he was preparing the way for the kingdom. And when John began preparing this way, from the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We're taught today, just like Christ has never come, we're taught today like we're expecting just to have faith and we'll have these promises given to us one of these days. That's what was promised in the Old Testament. They looked forward to these promises coming. That's what we've always been taught, that these promises were what was promised to us. And until John the Baptist, that's the way it was. But John the Baptist not only got a hold of these promises, he saw them coming and being manifest. And he got a hold of it. And he took these promises and he began to apply them in real time, in real life. That is taking it by force. He got a small glimpse of this. That's why he's least in the kingdom of heaven. His transformation was from just hoping in a promise to actually taking that promise and putting it, seeing it being manifest in Christ, and seeing the kingdom of God as it really was supposed to be in this earth. The violent take it by force. They're not sniveling around in a corner waiting for God to do something in their lives. They take the battle to the world. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom, the gates of hell shall not stand against you. We're all taught that we just have faith in God and we wait for God to do something in our lives. That's where John the Baptist was. And he was the greatest of all men. But yet, those that are in the kingdom of heaven are greater than he. Because he was playing defense, being under the law. He was just trying to do what was right. We have been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven to where we can not only hope to do what's right, we take the battle violently to Satan. We take the battle. We take the kingdom of God. We reclaim lost ground. We go and see what the kingdom of God is supposed to be, and we do it.
Amen.
We be what we're supposed to be. We take the kingdom by force. That this isn't the way it's supposed to be. We're not just here, just sniveling around. We've been called to a war. And if you want to just wait and pray for protection for the enemy, you just wait until he finds a weakness. And he will. That's not the message of the kingdom of God. The message of the kingdom of God is, here's everything you need. You go take the enemy. You go attack him. You go after the gates of hell. They cannot stand against you. The violent take it by force. The violent take what God has ordained for the church and go and get it. If you just sit by idly by and wait for God to do something, you'll never get it. And if you do, it'll be something wrong. It'll be something false. The violent take it by force. They take these promises of God and put them into practice in their lives. They allow God to make His power known by taking what He said and taking it from Satan. Those things in your life that are troubling you, quit running from them. Turn and face them. He's a paper giant. Satan has been defeated. His kingdom has been demolished. It still stands in kind of a shimmering image. And he's ruling people with his threats and his images of himself, of who he thinks he is. And people are cowering in this fear of this great big paper giant that's looming over them. But we have a pair of scissors. We have a sword that can just destroy this paper giant. But if we whine and whimper underneath this big paper giant waiting for God to do something when we've got all the tools we need laying right beside us, that is faithlessness. We may claim to have faith that God's going to do something. That's all that the Old Testament had, was a faith that God was going to do something. Well, God did do something. He came and He defeated this death. He defeated this tyrant that had hold of man. He defeated the enemy. He was destroyed. He took the keys of death and hell that bound us. He broke the power of sin in our lives. And the way that's applied today is when we face it and defeat it. We face our enemies and walk against the grain. It's easy to just flow and just coast and just go right along with everything. But it's hard to stand up and go the other way. This world cowers under Satan's power. They don't even know that's what they're doing. They don't think you can go against. But Christ came to say you can go against. And if you're going to be with me, you must go against. We're in a war. And a war is hard. It's hard every day. There are struggles that you're going to face all of your life. And there's sometimes you're going to fail. But the only way you lose is when you quit. When you give up and you quit, you're guaranteed to lose. But if you keep fighting, you keep struggling, you keep pressing on towards the kingdom, you'll gain a little ground every day. You'll gain a little bit more. And the problem is you gain a little bit more and you'll see a bigger giant over the next hill. But you keep pressing on. You just keep going on. The only way you lose is when you quit. Apostasy. Men that go into apostasy is decide they don't want to face the battle anymore. They want to quit. And just accept that God's going to take care of it. It'll be all right. They just give up and say, oh, God loves me. I'm fine. He'll protect me. I'll be fine. And they give up and they leave the battle. They still look the same. They still act the same. They have peace and joy now. They have comfort that they're fine now. They believed the lie. That you just go along and you're just saved. You're just fine. You're just okay. You have peace and joy. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if you follow Christ, you're going to have trouble in this world. You're not going to have peace and joy all the time. There's a rest that knowing that you're with God, but it's amidst turmoil. In the middle of a battle. But you know you're fighting for the right cause. That's where your peace is. That's where your joy is. That's where your comfort is. It's right in the middle of tears and struggles and battles. Just wanting to give up. But you keep pressing on. You violently press on into this kingdom. You violently press on into the battle. As soon as you give up, the peace and joy comes of your eternal slumber that'll bring nothing but death. He that endures to the end shall be saved. I know it gets hard. I know it gets just, you can't take another step. I know it gets tough. Keep on pressing into the kingdom of God. It's a war. There's things that trouble us. There's things that are hard to do. Face the war. Face what bothers you. Jesus said, for an example, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Someone that's causing you problems. How do you overcome that? How do you take the war to that? Do you resist them and fight them? Or do you love your enemies? You yield yourselves to them. Overcome them in yourself. Whatever your enemy is, make it your friend. Whatever your enemy is, make it your friend. Something that will press through that problem. Someone is maybe causing you trouble. It's maybe causing you to, they're a burden to you. Just every time you turn around, you got to go quit and you got to go help them. You just can't even hardly do anything and you got to go stop it and go fix it. Make that your friend. You keep fighting that and it will defeat you. It'll get wearisome and it'll get a burden. Make it your friend. Whatever's troubling you, whatever it is that's being a trouble to your life, make it your friend. Look at it as something God has given you to make you stronger. And you give yourself to that person that's being a trouble to you. We get so wrapped up in ourselves. Me, ourself, what am I? It's going to affect me. It's going to hurt me. Deny yourself. Throw yourself into someone else. And your problems go away. Whenever you lose yourself in someone else's problems, your problems are really small. Jesus said, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. And He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Whatever your enemy is, whatever you hate, make it your friend. Whatever struggle you're facing, make it your friend. Whenever I was young, I used to hate work. I hated it. I just wanted to be lazy. I wanted to do my own thing. And I just hated it. And I don't remember, I read in a book one time, something happened. I remember whenever I was playing basketball. I hated exercising. I would just if we had to run to get in shape, I was the last one just to slowly trod over the finish line. I just lumbered around just lazily. Oh, we got to run a lap. And so I just, I hate this. This is stupid. And that's the way I did. I lived my life like that. Oh, I got to go do that again. Just whine and cry and made it twice as hard on myself. One day I decided, what am I doing this for? If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. If I'm going to play this silly game, I'm going to play it. And I mean, just like that, I decided, I'm not going to be last anymore. I'm not going to suffer through this. I'm going to present myself to it. And I'm going to be first over the line. And watch all those other people whining and complaining at what they have to do. And you know what? It became easy. It was twice as easy as I used to make it on myself, hating it. And I took that example in everything that I did. If I hate something, learn to love it. Apply yourself to it. Defeat it by making it your friend. I read in a book later one time that said it was called The Richest Man in Babylon. It was about a man who had become a slave. And he just hated being a slave. He was under oppression. He had been a free man. And he had been a man that had accomplished a lot of things in his life. And his country was overtaken and he became a slave. And he just resisted that and he hated that, being a slave. And he had talked to an older man, and the older man said, or his master, just told him, you've got a lot in you. What you need to do is make work your friend instead of your enemy. And so he did that. He listened to that and he made work his friend. And so as a slave, as a servant, he just began to apply himself to what he was supposed to be doing. And he began to get better at it and learn it and just really put himself into being a slave, being a servant. And he began to rise in the ranks and he began to have less and less work to do and more responsibility. And pretty soon, the man set him free because he was such a faithful servant. Because he had given himself to the task at hand. Then it goes on and he became the richest man in Babylon. I don't care about that. But the point is, what he learned was to make his enemies his friends. And so he applied that. And he put it into force in his life. And he overcame his enemies. He didn't just succumb to them. He didn't just wait. He violently overcame his enemies. He took it by force. He took the application that was given to him and put it into practice. Love your enemies. You know, when some beggar comes up on the street and they ask you for money, my flesh and myself just, why don't you get a job? Help them. Overcome them. The battle is not what he's going to do with the money. It's what I'm doing with the money. That's where you overcome this. You love to give. If you hate when somebody comes up and just begs from you, turn that into an opportunity to give. Learn to love to give. Face your enemies. Face the battle that's in front of you. Somebody that's a burden to you. Instead of just dreading looking at them or dreading seeing them, go after them. You be there where they need you to be. Don't wait until they have to come and ask you for something. If you know they're going to, go get it to them before. Overcome it. Press into the kingdom by force. That force that you have to apply is yourself. Put it into it. It's not going to just come to you. Face your enemies. Face the things, and I'm not talking about the people that are your enemies. I'm talking about the enemies within inside you. Face those enemies. Put it into good use. Turn the defeat into strength. The violent, take it by force. Something you dread. Something you just don't want to do. Put your life into it. Something that is troubling you, deny yourself. Take up your cross and give yourself to it. What is your giant? What is it you're afraid of? What's your greatest fear? What is the thing that most troubles you? Take courage. The violent, take it by force. You can run from it. You can be afraid of it. You can hate it. You can dread it. Don't let it defeat you. That's as far as you're going to press into the kingdom. And that is exactly the door that you have to go through to get into the kingdom. It's the thing that will keep you out. It's the thing that will leave you out of the kingdom. The only way that you can press into the kingdom is if you face those things that are right there. And when you face those things, there's going to be trouble. And there's going to be problems from the outside. But our peace and our assurance comes by knowing that I know that this is right. And I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to press in to my fears. I am going to become a servant. I am going to be a slave to my Christ. So that I'm going to look for opportunities to help Him. Instead of hoping that someone doesn't call on me to do something. I'm going to look for an opportunity to help someone instead of, oh boy, it's about time for them to call. They're going to need some help and I'm going to have to quit doing this and I'm going to whine and cry. Forget it. Drop what you're doing and go help. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a struggle. Face it and press into the kingdom. It's going to cost you something to be a part of the kingdom. It's going to cost yourself. Christ gave us the keys to overcome Satan. If you leave them laying right there in your pocket, you'll never get through the door. You got to pull the keys out and put it in a lock and walk through the door. You have to do it. We're told that's pride. We're told that we don't trust God because we do it. That's a lie. Faith is putting into practice what Christ has taught. The man that was the paraplegic, Jesus said, great is your faith. Jesus was teaching. All of a sudden, parts of the roof began to fall down on him. And here come this man, let down by cords, right into the middle of Jesus. And Jesus looked up and said, great is your faith. You don't think he was pressing in to the kingdom? Here's a man teaching. We're going to break his roof and drop this man down in the middle of it. That would be a sight. But Jesus didn't say, all right, who's broken up this? He's really in it. Oh man, this is a mess. He said, great is your faith. You're pressing into the kingdom. You're breaking up the tiles. You're tearing the roof off of what this world has to offer. You're breaking up the kingdom of God and pressing in to where Christ is. The woman that said, if I but touch the hem of His garment, fought through the crowd. I can just see her crawling, trying to get ahead of them, people stepping on her fingers. She said, if I can just touch His garment, He'll heal me. She was pressing into the kingdom. It was something she had to do. That was her faith to do it. And she overcome that fear of getting stepped on and getting squished in the crowd. Faced it and went and got a hold of that garment. Jesus stopped right in the middle and said, who touched me? Who pressed into the kingdom? Who is pressing? The Bible says if you seek with all your heart, you'll find Him. This is not just some pretend game that you just pretend that if you believe hard enough that God will magically do something in your life. The kingdom of heaven is taken by force. It's taken from Satan by force. And you press into it. Lose yourself. Press into the kingdom. Those that were valiant fought for the prize. They ran the race. It gets hard. It gets tiring. But you keep pressing on. Whenever you press in and press on, we're saying, oh, you're working for your salvation. You're trying to impress God. It won't work. Well, they're lying. Jesus said the only way you get in is if you press in and pursue God with all your heart. We're called all kinds of things. We're called proud and arrogant. Because we've got a message that we want to press in. Preaching. People don't know what a preacher is. The Anabaptists don't know what a preacher is. Or the so-called Anabaptists. They don't know what a preacher is. If you look up the definition of preaching, one of the words that it uses to describe is officious. That means meddling in someone else's business where you're not asked or called with a high-handed manner. In other words, you're telling somebody what they're doing with authority that they're doing wrong. It's offensive to them. It's invasive to them. And it looks terrible to them. It looks like, who do you think you are? It looks proud to them. We're told that we're to be humble. We're told that we should just... We looked up a definition last night of humility, and this is the definition that is accepted. To look at yourself lower than you actually are. To look at yourself lower than you actually are. I call that a liar. Amen. Humility is actually being what you actually are. Pride is... Humility has got a real nice... Or pride has got a real nice cloak in that definition of humility. This church movement, these church writers, these different people that are leading this so-called Anabaptist movement, have real humble speech. They talk real humble, but they're full of pride. I don't talk very humble with my speech, but I know where I'm at, and I'm not going to be ashamed of it. That looks like pride to the false, those who have a false humility. It looks arrogant to them. Just be what you're supposed to be. Press into this kingdom. Preaching. We preach because we have a message. We preach because we have something that the world does not have. We proclaim something that the world needs. We have a message. And those who will not receive it will see nothing but arrogance and pride in us. But that's exactly what they saw in Christ. Who is this man? Isn't he that carpenter over there? What's he doing trying to teach us anything? Who sent you? Where do you get your authority? They said to John. And they said to Peter. And they said to Paul. And they said to all of those who had the kingdom of God and went against the kingdom of this world's message. Where do you get your power? We get it from the King. And we have His message. And we're pressing in to this phony kingdom. We're going to break the tiles of your roof. And it's going to seem proud and arrogant. Who is this breaking up my roof? But Jesus is saying, that's faith. That's faith. Tearing up the roof of this old house of religion. And those that promote it don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to handle it. Paul was brought before Felix in chains. And he stood before this king who had all the power in the world at his hands. And Paul in chains brought before this king told him to fear God. Told him that his kingdom was nothing. Told him about judgment to come. Told him about the righteousness and the kingdom of God. And this king that controlled an empire trembled before a man in chains. The world will tremble at a man of God. They don't know what to do with him. They will tremble at a man that presses into the kingdom of God. They don't know what to do with him. Used to be, the world didn't know what to do with the church. What are we going to do about this? And so they tried to persecute it and they tried to kill it. Today, the world doesn't know what to do with, or the church doesn't know what to do with the world. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to keep worldliness out of our church? How are we going to keep worldliness out of our church? Oh, let's make rules. We need to be more gentle and more liberal. It's all right, just let it. It'll be fine. They don't know what to do with it. I'll tell you what to do with it. You press into the kingdom of God and they won't know what to do with you. Amen. You press into the kingdom of God. You violently take it by force and they'll fear and tremble at you. They'll shake. It doesn't matter whether they're a king or a bishop or whatever their title may be. It don't matter how many thousands or millions of people they control. You press into the kingdom of Christ and they'll shake in their boots, not knowing what to do with you. God help us to be those men. A body of those men and people and sisters and young people pressing into the kingdom of God. Not wringing in our hands of what we're going to do with problems. Face our problems. Overcome them. They may get bigger and they may be more oppressive on us. But we're still going to overcome them in ourselves. We're still going to overcome them in us. It's not we're going to just defeat all our problems and smooth out our path and make it all nice and neat. We're going to get stronger in our troubles as we press on that mountain and the air gets thinner up high. And it gets harder to press on and there's snow now and rocks as we're climbing up this mountain getting towards that peak. It gets harder. But we're overcoming and we're getting stronger. Our lungs are getting bigger. So we keep on pressing. Our feet are getting surer. Our hands are getting stronger as we grab a hold of that next rock and we climb and we climb and we crawl. And we keep on going. If you keep on pressing up, by the time you enter the kingdom, by the time you get into glory, you may be on your belly just crawling an inch an hour. But you keep crawling. You keep crawling. Maybe in the beginning you're just running and it's fun. It's exciting to be a Christian. But as that pleasure and that fleshly excitement begins to secede, and it just begins to be a challenge and it's work to keep on, and it's hard, and more people turn against you, and you get beat up, and you get down and you get discouraged. Keep on crawling. Keep on pressing in. The violent take it by force. It's not for the weak. It's not for sissies. It's for men and women and young men and young ladies with courage to keep on fighting. My grandma used to tell me, if at first you don't succeed, try again. So one of the first things I ever remember, little poems that I ever remember, if at first you don't succeed, try again. We're in a war. And the way to overcome this war is to take the battle to them. You never score points on defense. The law is defense. That's why it won't work. That's why the law is no good. The law is defense. If you play on a baseball team and all you do is play defense, you'll never score a run. All you can, your best hope is just to keep the defense up. And then someone steps up and hits a home run. The game's over. You lost. That's what the law does. We just try to, I'm going to keep this law. I can't do this. I can't do that. Well, you keep that up and pretty soon one goes right over the fence. Okay, now we got to play better defense. You're still on defense. The only way you score points is when you get up to bat and you hit home runs or you hit singles. Or whatever it takes. You play the offense. The kingdom of heaven is offense against Satan. Everybody's trying to build defenses so they don't fail. Press into the kingdom of God and it'll fail. That's the key. That's what Christ did. He defeated it and said, now, press on. I've faced Him. I've whipped Him. I've overcame Him. I defeated Satan. I defeated this kingdom. Now it's your turn. Anyone who will, rise up and press into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. It is within you. That promise in Jeremiah that said, I'll write their laws. I'll write my laws on their heart so that no man will need to teach you. The kingdom of God is written on every man if he will hear it. If he will listen. Many get through that and they can hear it. And then they sit and wait for God to do it in them. The kingdom, it must be pressed into. The kingdom must be forcefully taken. Our battle's not with flesh and blood. Our battle is with principalities. Whatever this flesh and blood would throw at us, whatever men would throw at us, our battle's not with them. Our battle's not with that person that's a pain to our life. Our battle's with overcoming. Making that person a blessing instead of a curse to us. Overcoming this world. Press in to the kingdom of God. The violent take it by force. Be greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist could just play defense, and he is the best defense player there was. Now it's time to play offense. The whole world, the whole church system is still playing defense. And anybody that starts towards the bat is told, oh, no, 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 you can't bat. No, no, no. Don't bat, don't bat. That's wrong. It's not your place. You can only play defense. Go towards the bats. Pick them up and start swinging at balls. You're proud! You're proud! Go, boo! Go sit down! What are you doing? You're not playing right. You don't fit the rule book that we've got. The violent take it by force and they press into the kingdom of God. May the kings tremble at people of the living God. Father, thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy to us. Thank You for the tools You've given us, Father. Thank You, Lord, that You've given us all we need and that You've gone away to a far country and now the battle is in our hands. Help us pick up those tools. Help us face our enemies and press in violently, destroying the gates of hell. Lord, we just pray that You'd help us be faithful to You. Help us be loyal to our King through all of our struggles and our trials. Help us keep pressing upward. In Jesus' name, amen. You want to have anything you'd like to share? Thank you.
And that means that the church should be on the offensive. And I had always in my mind, and it's just the way it was always presented, is that the church is on defense against Satan, and that's somehow the gate for the trade of Satan's offensive.
Yeah.
You have this prosperity gospel where you believe that if you accept Christ, then your life is going to be perfect. You're going to get rich. I mean, we're taught that. And so if you look at the Bible, the people in the Bible, their life wasn't all that great. I mean, now Joseph was a slave. Ruth's life wasn't good. I don't think Job, I mean, if you read the book of Job, I don't think that God's concern is us just to live this easy, easy life. I mean, it seems like the harder and the more difficult your life is, that's when you draw close to God. It's not when it's real easy. But that's something that I had to get over because I have been ingrained that if you accept Christ, then you're going to get rich. You're going to have a life of ease. But that's just not the way things are in the real world. Anything with the people, I mean, you just think you're going to have a lot of ease, but you have to die to yourself. I mean, I don't, well, Jesus didn't want to die. I mean, Jesus wasn't just looking forward to going to the cross. I don't really believe any of the apostles wanted to be tortured. It's just something that they made a commitment that that's what they were going to do because it's God's will. It's not something that I think we just have to look forward to or have to seek out a cross. It's just something that we need to be willing to accept when it comes.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Being part of humble is also denying yourself. Looking up to the definition of humble is not thinking of yourself. You can use it as an example as for pressing in or a concern about getting in, not about ourselves, it's about getting the next high paying job or nice house or nice car. We're more concerned about how to get in there and not concerned about ourselves.
Amen. Amen.
I just like to say amen to the message as well. And it just identifies so much with it. Especially how this thing of pressing in applies for us physically. And I could just see how as you know, we're building a house, and some of you might not know that we just got done fixing up a house on the soul. And I've been struggling with that a little bit, just thinking, well, why am I doing all this? Just did it, and I'll do it again. And if I'm struggling with it, the work is really hard. I mean, putting up a sheet of drywall when I'm struggling with that is just hard. But if I got my goal set on finishing this thing, and then a couple of weeks are in, and it's done, then I can just get up and go, and I can just get home runs. You know, it's not a big deal. And so, I appreciate that. I also could just see the same thing happening in my more like spiritual life, like over the years when we sort of get convicted on things. We usually went on the offense. Say there in Ohio growing up, there was many just evil things going on, and they were just tolerated. So once we got to the light that how wrong this is, we just put more rules on the system and try to do better to overcome the wrong, the evil. And so it's just something how deceiving and blind that can be, how it's just not right.
Mm-hmm.
A reforming spirit is on the defense.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to thank God for sharing this allowing me to find a place where I could hear a preacher preach, a preacher prepare. I'd like to thank God that He's brought me to where I can hear this word talk well. And it took something for that to happen. It took me packing up in Texas and moving out of that state to Oklahoma, a place that I thought was the worst place in the country that I ever lived, from Alaska. And Oklahoma just seemed to me like the bottom of the country. And I packed up and moved. You know, I've heard it said that the most quoted line of the Bible is not in the Bible, it's that God moves, that God steers a moving ship. And it was like the offensive. There was something I was out for, something I was trying to take, and I didn't even know how to do it, but I was stepping in faith. The day I got to that house in Oklahoma with my furniture was the day that somebody showed up and said, "Come with me to Monette." And I mean, if you're willing to fight, the Lord will be your partner. Like
ways you can't even imagine. I just like to thank the Lord for that message. Also, another thing, actually, something we were talking about over at Brother Adams, the moment you quit, when you start to die, too, doesn't have a life you want to use, and climbing the mountain, or hatching out of an egg, or running a race, or whatever it may be, at first we might think we're making a lot of mistakes and we get up again, we keep going, and finally maybe those mistakes will get less and less, but maybe in a 5 or 10 year period when you're almost at your end and you've been doing pretty good and then you make another mistake.
Amen.
What you said about the any who sort of will, I appreciate that. That it's in our will. Faithful, Lord. God's promise. some of these struggles, just such a blessing out of the struggles lately, of having a lot to do and battles that you don't have an immediate answer for. It's just such encouragement. Do that. Think of Brother Dwayne Tim planning to put in a new book. Just had a bunch of good encouragement for brothers and sisters to just be what God wants them to be. Thankful for the message.
Evening. Lord willing, God bless you.